The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hey, it's Danielle, and welcome back to the show. Wedding stress is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. And you know, when I get stressed out about anything, wedding and bridal, there is one person who can I run to? One person. LaToya Keys of LK Events. Hello, LaToya.
Hi, Danielle.
How are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me back.
Thank you for coming back.
Ready to talk about weddings.
Especially, we talk about just the natural stress that comes with planning a wedding. But what happens when you are planning a wedding and then the invisible enemy, the COVID-19, the coronavirus shows up? What happens when you were planning this wedding, you have your vendors, you have your dates, you have your people, you have your dress, you have your plans, and all of a sudden, things are paused, canceled, or postponed? So today we are talking about weddings during the age of coronavirus. LaToya, what is going on?
I mean, you know, I think so in the looking at the overarching big picture, at the end of the day, you can still get married.
You can still get
a wedding to get married. I am a big fan of being married, being two, you know, a couple. The wedding is really just a celebration of your love. So you can always plan your wedding. And don't get me wrong, I'm always down for the planning of your wedding. But marriage is the most important piece, I think. It has to be the most important piece to even have a wedding.
I fully agree with you. And during my wedding planning season, that was my whole perspective. Like, I care very much about the marriage. I just want us to be married. This wedding and all of this drama that comes along with the wedding, I don't even care about that. I want the marriage. But now, what happens when you were making all of these plans and you had these plans in motion, you had your dates, and this happens? What are brides doing regarding the wedding?
So it really depends on the client. With a few of my clients, I've simply asked them, what is more important to you? The date, what's most important to you? Or is it being able to have grandma, auntie, best friend, you know, neighbor, childhood friend present there? And that's kind of like step one, because then we can determine how to move from there. I've been a strong advocate of let's postpone, not cancel. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are not really clear on that postponing and canceling are two different things.
Can you walk us through that? So if I was a bride and I was scheduled to get married this year, mm-hmm. what postponing versus cancellation? What are the differences?
So postponing, I would say, like, say if your date was October 1st, and we'll say October 1st because that's my niece's birthday. Fine. And while it's far in advance and we really don't know what's going on, but if you want to ease your anxiety,
yes,
let's postpone your wedding maybe a year out or 6 months out. Given in October, it's still going to be a year out. We'll pick a date. We'll communicate with the venue and all of your vendors that you are moving your date. The wedding is still happening. You are still going to celebrate your love. The invitation or guest list is not going to change. We are just delaying our wedding. Canceling is we're not doing it.
Yeah.
All contracts have ended. There's no more money to be exchanged. Don't look for an invitation. You know, all is said and done. Put a bow on it. It's finished. Those are two different things.
So with cancellations, if a person decided that, okay, my fiance and I were going to be married this year, but with this COVID-19 situation, we just want to cancel the wedding. What happens to all of those deposits that they made if you cancel versus postpone?
So you have to look at your contracts. And I tell all my clients pre-corona, review the contracts. I review the contracts with them depending on which service they have booked me for. Understand the difference between a involuntary cancellation, which is usually, like an act of God, or as we're having now, like a pandemic, something of that source, or a voluntary cancellation, one where the client, they're selecting to cancel. And a lot of contracts say, if you select to cancel, you lose your deposit. There are some vendors who say, if you select to cancel within like 30 days of your event, full contract fee is due, or you lose 75%, or, everybody does it differently. But if you select to cancel, know that you will more than likely lose money. So there are a small set of vendors who will allow a cancel and then refund all your money. Because I think what a lot of clients miss is that, yes, you've hired a vendor for your wedding day, but the prep work that vendor has to go through for your day happens well in advance of your day. Your baker has started the design on your cake. They've ordered their supplies. They, booked whatever assistance that they need. Your photographer is already been to the venue, scoped out locations. Maybe they had an engagement shoot with you prior to that's included in your package. All of those items go into your quote unquote deposit fee or any monies that you pay. So if anyone wants to cancel, they really, really need to look at their contract to determine how much money they're going to forfeit.
With a situation like this, with the coronavirus, is this considered an act of God, or are we still? So if a person has a wedding in the summertime, so we know currently we are under stay-at-home orders, but if a bride and groom, if they are thinking about their event that's happening in the summer, should they continue to hold off, or do, I guess it's like, will they be penalized if they cancel without the venue canceling first?
So it goes back again to your contract and to your vendor. Every vendor operates differently and what their contract says. So for example, with my contract, if they select to postpone their wedding, then we would do an addendum to the contract, having stated the correct or the new date that they're going to have, there's no penalty for them to move their date because it is a pandemic. It is an act of God. It is not something that they can control. Mm-hmm. The other piece to look at, or the caveat to that, is say we get off of this day in residency and we are allowed to go back outside. They are allowed to have their wedding. But as we've been hearing in the news, this day in residency could have a cap on how many people can be at events. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a wedding size of 200 and the cap is now 50 or 75 people, then we have to adjust and see what that looks like for you. Is that going to be doable? Is that something that you want per se? Would it benefit you to postpone your day or to just stay where you are and plan under those parameters?
Just ride it out.
Right. And just kind of ride it out because, again, every vendor is going to have a different cancellation clause in their contract. So while, it may work for your venue and your planner, your photographer may already be booked for that day. So at that point, there are no real state restrictions about you not having the wedding. You can have the wedding, but under these, situations. So then it's kind of that's at that point is when I would recommend my clients to again look at their contract and then let's have this conversation with the photographer because maybe they can't shoot your wedding, but they apply your deposit to a anniversary shoot or, you know, they do a boudoir shoot with the bride or something of another where there's another service. So you're not technically losing out on your money.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I was going to ask you, following up on just that vendor management for brides, who is managing all of this communication? When I was getting married, that was one source of anxiety. You know, everybody having a million different questions from shoes to cake to venue to people to all of that. Who is managing all of these moving parts right now for brides?
Well, I mean, okay, so here's my little push. If they hired a planner, their planner is managing all of these types of things. Especially working with the vendors, the planners are managing that. There are some planners who will work with the bridal party to send out a mass message saying, hey guys, this is what, you know, your bride or groom has done. Let's support them during this time, offer any love and condolences or whatever, you know. But if you do not have a planner, the couple.
It's all you, boo.
Making it work, you know. And chances are they are good at delegating. So maybe they send some things to mom. Send some things to the maid of honor. Or if they are just like a type A control person, they're doing everything on their own.
Yeah.
Hopefully managing that stress as best as possible. But for majority of us, it's the planners that are having these discussions.
Because I cannot imagine the stress and anxiety that a couple is going through right now. Are people, so from the planning perspective and how your clients have responded to this, are people still moving forward with their weddings? Oh, I'm sorry. Are they still getting married and just skipping that party? Are people going to the courthouse instead? Like what are brides doing in 2020, in the beginning of 2020?
So my clients are either postponing or we're just in the kind of wait and see phase. What I've done with my wait and see phase clients is we've established a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. So plan A is if everything works out great, we're going to continue on the same path that we were already planning on. Plan B is if we're able to go back outside, have an event under a smaller capacity, what does that look like for us? You know, where's our guest count? You know, are we changing venues or updating websites or all of that good stuff? Plan C would be if we have to postpone it to next year, what does that look like? Are we discussing payment schedules with the vendors? Are we alerting our guests so that they are aware and no one comes knocking on my door asking me where's my invite? So it's really kind of like crisis management in a sense that having a plan A, B, C, D, E, F, whatever that looks like, is helping a lot of my brides to at least have a route.
Yeah.
A destination of where they're going. Like if this happens, great. If that happens, we have this. If neither of those happen, then we can go this way. So that I'm finding is helping to eliminate a little bit of stress just because it is so unknown, right? We get updates every day from the mayor, the person at the White House, the governor, you know, and then, you know, grandma and mother-in-law, they're calling with what their neighbor said and all of that. So having those plans have helped my clients really kind of manage what their day would look like. Now, for my other clients who just were flat out like, I don't deal with it. Let's just postpone it and I'm going to move forward and stay in residence. We did that and it was easy peasy. They let their guests know like, hey, love y'all. See y'all in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
We are not doing anything else. until that time. The vendors, we went ahead and booked those dates because, you know, a lot of people are still planning for their wedding. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that they have the date that they want booked, confirmed, and moved on to the next step.
As you're creating these plans with your brides and helping to try to alleviate some of this anxiety in the midst of these unknowns, what will happen if the desired venue or caterer does not come back after this pandemic?
So that is also in the plan A, plan B, plan C type of action, having those real conversations with the caterers. Like, and this is where having a good planner comes into play because I, you know, have worked with this caterer, worked with this baker, and I can say, like, hey, how are you doing? Like, let's be realistic about, is this feasible for you? And I've had people say, you know, if you can get your clients, or if we can work out a way where your clients will still pay me their deposit, even though it's for 2021, that will keep me afloat. That will ensure that I'm there. And then again, having that honest conversation with the bride and the groom to say, hey, you want this vendor. This is their requirement. This is, you know, what they're facing with right now. And it's not unpopular because you look at other small businesses or just other businesses in general, beauticians, barbers, nail techs, they're all doing like a pay for your service in advance, but we don't know when they're going to open up. But people are paying because they want them. They don't want to go to another person. They don't want to have to vet somebody else. So having those open conversations, and then also looking at, so I do have a client or two clients who were kind of like in between photographers, and they're like, I like this one, but I don't know about this one. So that's in your plan A and plan B. If photographer A is booked, then you know you have photographer B, that you know their work, you know their style, you know their pricing. Let's kind of keep them in the loop. So I've also been telling my clients to don't stop researching or planning, quote unquote, during this time, because trust and believe, when we open back up, people are going to be booked.
When we open back up, people will be booked.
Yeah.
Let's
talk. And it's going to be like a double team, because it's almost like, you know, you typically in the business, like, you have your engagement period and then you have your wedding season. Mm-hmm. Well, we had engagement season for 2020, but we didn't have wedding season for 2020. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to have double wedding season in 2021.
Yes.
Which means, you know, you're multiplying the amount of people who are going to need your service.
Which means to keep your contract valid, pay your vendors, because when we come back, you don't want to lose your vendor because someone else who had to reshift and postpone has snatched them up.
Right. Right. But And be smart about paying your vendors. Like, I get, you know, everybody is dealing with financial struggles or crisis or however your financial stability is going. But create a payment plan that works for you and the vendor. You know, if that's paying 50%, that's securing your date. If that's payments every 3 months, that's securing your date. Like, whatever that looks like for that vendor and that couple, let's work it out.
Which is why it's important to have someone who is helping to manage that communication and keep those contracts and lines open, especially during this time.
And people, and, you know, another plug for planners have that relationship.
Yes.
Planners have that relationship and can call a photographer who they've worked with for time and time again. The photographer knows that if I work with this planner, I'm not going to be stressed out at the wedding. The bride is not going to be calling me at 3:00 in the morning, freaking out because of whatever. So that also helps with the vendor search, because you kind of have a liaison. You have somebody that's on your back who can rally, you know, for lack of a better wording, like, rally their team, rally their homeboys to be like, all right, let's get this wedding together and move forward.
So we've talked about the postponement. What about the brides who are deciding, like, or grooms who are deciding, we know we want to move forward right now? how are people currently getting married? What is a micro wedding?
So, micro wedding. I love the term micro wedding. It's not a new, the fascinating part is that it's not a new thing. So, micro weddings are weddings that have 50 or less people. And think about it. Our friend Ellie had a micro wedding. And that was in 2016, 17, she got married.
Our friend Danielle wanted a micro wedding.
So it's not like a new thing. I think that it's just going to shift people now to really have it, as opposed to, like, they're going to be forced to have it, as opposed to Ellie, who wanted that experience so much more than other people.
So let's talk about micro weddings, because for some of us who believe that the big wedding was the dream, why a micro wedding? What are some of the benefits, and why is a micro wedding beautiful? What's the good stuff about a micro wedding?
I think it really goes down to the personality of the couple. My couples who have had micro weddings are the couples who do not want to be center stage for any reason ever at any point. They're truly introverts, or they don't have a large friend pool or a large family pool. So for them, their first cousins were always their best friend. So there's no need for me to really invite my college roommate who I talk to on Thanksgiving and Christmas to my wedding, because at the core of everything, these are the people who are the most connected to me. I think the other piece, which I'm not a big fan of, but I understand, people don't want people at their wedding just to be nosy.
Do people really go to people's weddings to be nosy?
Listen, I am a fan of saying, oh yeah, if you invite me, send me a table 4. Why a table 4? Because usually table 1 and 2 are reserved for the parents. 3 or 4, you know, bridal, party, maybe close cousins. And then 4 is just like, you know, we close, we cool. So send me there. And, you know, because I love love. So if we're going to celebrate love, then let's celebrate love. Sure, I want to be there. I don't want to be there to talk negatively about it. I don't want to be there to throw shade. I want to be there because it's going to be a room full of love, full of people who are celebrating. The bar is going to be flowing. We pray that you have a great DJ. Woo-hoo. You know, I want to be there. And, you know, I know this, but most people don't know. Me saying I want to be there is also coming with a price tag. So I say it jokingly, but also there are people who go to weddings just to be like, he didn't really love her, or she didn't really love him, or I remember when she was in high school. Yeah, but she's 42 now, and we're still talking about what she did in high school. So I recognize that those things happen. And it's sad that there are people who will still attend weddings like that. But because of that situation, there are people who select to have a micro wedding so that they don't have to deal with any of that type of tomfoolery.
So it's really interesting. I never knew the phrase micro wedding, but the workaround that I had learned about for that was destination weddings. If it's like, you know, you don't have the language or the ability to keep it cute and have 50 people or less, so you have to extend the invitations, but you want to figure a way to manage the invite list, it was destination wedding. Everybody gets an invite.
Right, right. And that's kind of where I feel like it could have originated from. But now, the micro destination wedding tip is not it.
No.
Because let me tell you, travel is life now.
Yeah, everybody will be at that destination wedding.
Everybody's coming to that destination.
And they might not even come to the wedding. They're going to come to the trip.
Exactly.
They're coming to the trip.
They're coming for the trip. And it's just like the cherry on top is that your wedding is also happening there. It's like, oh, I need a vacation.
Yep.
They're getting married. I'll go.
Yep.
Because of the vacation. Why? Because they probably are getting a good discount.
Yep.
It's alleviating me having to research and think about, you know, all the logistics that go into it. Nope, I'm just going to email and call this travel agent that's through their wedding and be done with it. I tell this story all the time. My cousin kept telling me, oh, I'm only planning for like 20, 25 people. He got married in Cancun. And I was like, well, I don't think that's really going to work, because when you think about your brother, his wife, their kids, your sister, her wife, her husband, you know, your dad, your grandma. And
Gizmo is getting stressed at the idea of all these people.
And that's just his family. So when I started like naming just family, I was already at like 10 people.
Because we forget about family. When people are planning for these events and you got this number, it's 25, it's like, oh yeah, 25 is good. But once you start to name some siblings, some cousins, some older, you will get to 25 people and not have none of your VIP on the list.
None of your people. And he just kept saying, well, you know, we're going to invite, but they might not show. And I was just like, okay, you know, but I really don't think it's realistic, but okay. We got to, and I wasn't like, quote unquote, planning their wedding. I was more like a consultant. And when we got down to do like the nitty gritty and start looking at numbers, they were over 50 people. Easy. Mm. Mm. So it's not, yes, the destination wedding started off as like the way to do a micro wedding, but now people are coming.
People are, well, prior to Corona, people were going.
And I still kind of feel like people may come now because they want to get away. Think about what's on social media. Everybody is now really trying to post their Flashback Friday, Throwback Thursday pictures of them on a beach, them on a trip, them, you know, in a hotel, because they missed that aspect. So yes, it will be a sense of fear in the travel, but let a good one or two people in your friend group travel out and make it back with no corona. People are really going to start booking their flights.
So the destination wedding is going to make a comeback.
I think so.
What about, so right now, we know about micro weddings, keeping the size 50 and under. We know in the future, once we're able to travel again, people will go, those destinations will make a comeback. What about moving into the digital age? We talked about changing some of those vendor contracts to say, even if I cancel my wedding, but still keep and honor the contract, and roll those services into a different plan. Are there people who are, instead of just having the wedding in January at the venue, have the wedding in my backyard and have a videographer record it and share that out to people?
Yes, that's happening. A lot of people are, I mean, I've seen all types of stories, right?
Tell us what you've seen.
People go to their officiant's house and the officiant is in the window and they're standing outside, you know.
Does that count?
And people are, you know, it's just the bride and the groom, or the bride and the bride, or whomever the couple is. And the photographer is maybe across the street with a long lens taking pictures. I mean, we're practicing social distancing.
Yeah.
They're still getting married.
Yeah.
You could still, at least in the city of Chicago, and I'm sure in other states and cities as well, you can still apply for your marriage license online. You can still get married virtually through the clerk's office. Like, it's still happening. People are still getting married. And that, to me, just reinforces that love is still real. Marriage is still real. Yes, we are dealing with the stress of this pandemic, but people are still wanting to be married. They still want to be in love. And it works perfectly if you are already engaged, You were already living together. You were 6 months into your planning and you just like, you know what? Forget it. We're going to get married. So let me call up officiant, rever, doctor, whoever is doing your ceremony and holler out the window.
Yeah.
Which I think is not a bad thing, right? Because people gravitate towards love. Think about all, they gravitate towards love and music. Think about what's been keeping us going.
Yes.
These couple of weeks. Music, right?
Yep.
So I can fully envision and see getting married out the window, a neighbor across the street being like, oh, what's happening out the window? They open up their window. Somebody plays, you know, music. And then guess what? The moment is still wonderful. It's still great. It's still beautiful. You still have the pictures because the photographer is still there. While it may not have been what you envisioned, it still turned out to be beautiful. And people still captured it and they loved it. So, you know, I'm a big fan of things always work out.
Yeah.
Don't worry, things. And I think I told you that during the planning process, like it always works out. And so people are absolutely still getting married. They're just getting married in different ways. Sometimes it is in your backyard. Or I talked to one of my clients. I was like, listen, maybe you set up a Zoom meeting and or a Zoom request. You get dressed in your house. Have your officiant, your parents on the call. Y'all go for it because it's, you know, it still can happen. It's not a matter of they already have their rings.
Yep.
So just get married, apply for your license. You'll still get your license. The officiant can, you can mail, you know, USPS is still working.
Yep.
Slowly, but still working.
You don't have to send invitations. When, come on for silver linings.
You and this invitation. You know, I love invitations.
I love them too. They are beautiful. They just so stressful. But I think you said it perfectly. Love is still real. And in spite of all of these things that are happening, love is still real. And the ability to connect and celebrate love is still real. The ability to get married, even if you have to postpone, cancel, reflip, remix the wedding, it can still happen. What are some words of encouragement that you would have to anybody who is feeling like overwhelmed or stressed or heartbroken or sad because the dream wedding that they thought they would have is not here anymore?
Yeah. I would say go back to why this day was important to you. Let's visit that value. And I'm hoping that for many, it is because I love this person and I want to be with this person. I want to build and grow with this person. And all of those things could still happen without having a wedding. It sounds very cliche-ish for me as a planner to be like, still do it without your wedding. I mean, get married. Still call me for the anniversary party and the wedding, but also we could still get married, you know? I think that it is absolutely okay to step away from the planning during this time. You can take 2-3 days to just breathe, take in, be present in the moment that you're in right now. If you have to postpone, 2021 has some great dates, you know, 2/21/21 still works.
Yep.
Just like 2/22/20 still works. You know, if you're into the whole dating, the date aspect. But I do think that if anything, this pandemic has taught us to just take a moment. Like take a moment, be still. Everything will absolutely work out. And even if we didn't have this pandemic, I tell this to my brides years ago, what you plan may work out way, way better than what you thought.
And I can, I'm a living testimony of that. I am a living testimony of that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that could be a mistake somewhere in there and it worked out perfectly. So just really reminding yourself why you are getting married, and then understanding that everything will absolutely work out perfectly.
Spoken like a true planner professional who saved me from becoming a bridezilla. Thank you for sharing that. I just breathed a sigh of relief for anybody who feels the anxiety around this, because it's already an anxious time. But when you add that wedding and the communication and the dates and the pressure and the money on top of all of that, that is one layered pie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. You know, anxiety is real. And I stand by, if you just don't know something, just say, I don't know. If somebody asks you like, oh, you know, with the pandemic going on, what are you going to do? You know, I don't know. Cause I've been watching Mayor Lori Lightfoot and I will make updates as she makes updates. Like, it's okay. It's absolutely okay to be like, I don't know.
It is okay to be like, I don't know. Like, that's part of like that releasing that pressure, that perfectionist pressure, having all the answers. Mm-hmm. You can release yourself from that. You don't have to mm-hmm. do that. Where can people connect with you in the event that they have weddings, birthday parties, anniversary parties that they want to start planning for when we are able to socially gather again?
I am on Instagram and Twitter at ELLEKAY events. I'm more active on Instagram than I am Twitter, but I will pop in here and there. My website is the exact same thing, LK Events, ELLEKAY events.com. But yeah, so call me because, you know, people are still calling me. I literally just booked a client this week for their wedding.
Because love is still real. Love is still real and it is still happening and people still want to get married.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, people are at home and so they don't have anything but timing to do planning and sitting back and researching and finding people and all that good stuff. I asked this client, I said, you know, like, how did you find me? And she said, oh, a Google search. We were just sitting here talking about planners and I just did a search and liked your website and I called you.
Yeah.
Just because she's at home. So it's not wasted time. It's definitely not wasted time. It's just managing your time and then managing your anxiety. Everything will work out.
Everything will work out. And I'm going to leave it there. Thank you, LaToya, for coming back on the show. You are a homie and a savior. People follow LaToya LK Events on IG and Twitter, but we'll talk to you later. Bye. All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.